across the nation and around the world. Welcome to Unraveling the New World Order, an expose of how government, financial, and religious insiders are attempting to decide your future. It's live talk at its best. And now, here are your hosts, economist and best-selling author Dr. Larry Bates and former White House aide Chuck Bates.
Greetings, this is Bob Enyart filling in for Larry and Chuck. They're on their way to Atlanta, Georgia for the IRN conference tomorrow, May 10th at Atlanta's Marriott Northwest. And you're going to want to go to that conference if you're within driving distance of Atlanta right now. You'll hear Larry Bates and Chuck Bates, Jesse Lee Peterson, and Larry Pratt. In fact, Larry Pratt, he was on MSNBC last night. Is that right? That's right. And he will be tomorrow with Larry and Chuck Bates at Atlanta's Marriott Northwest. You're going to want to check it out. You can call 800-336-7000 for more information or check it out on the web at inforadionet.com. This is Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church and the host of my own program on IRN, Information Radio Network. Hey, this world of ours, this conservative world of ours, is so filled with contradictions. We have, just this morning, a radical pro-abort White House counsel, Alberto Gonzalez. He introduced George Bush, who called for a vote on a pro-life judicial nominee, Priscilla Owen. You got that? We got the White House counsel, Alberto Gonzalez. He's pro-abortion. He introduced Bush, who called for a vote on a pro-life nominee. And George Bush was praising Alberto Gonzalez as a tremendous legal mind. This week, we had Fox's Bill O'Reilly, of all people, who took the feminist Patricia Ireland to task because now she's running the YWCA. The YWCA, what's going on with our country? The YWCA, that's the Young Women's Christian Association. Now, they have a new CEO, the longtime feminist Patricia Ireland. She's pro-abortion, pro-lesbian, pro pretty much anything that's anti-Christian. And she's the head of the YWCA. So Bill O'Reilly asks Ireland on his show, well, isn't it peculiar that you're the head of the YWCA? Are you a Christian? And Patricia Ireland got offended at the question, and she said it felt like an inquisition, like a Joseph McCarthy thing. And he said, well, do you believe that Jesus Christ is God? And she wouldn't answer the question. And so he said, well, maybe they should change the name to the Young Women's I Don't Know Association. Now, that was pretty funny, and I was actually thankful for Bill O'Reilly to clarify this fundamental Christian belief that Christians believe that Jesus Christ is God, the Creator. But the weird thing, our conservative world is so filled with contradictions because O'Reilly is the most popular conservative cable talk show host. He's on the Fox News Channel 5 nights a week. But how conservative is he? Well, let's see. On the major issues, he's pro-abortion and pro-homosexuality, and he's against spanking, and he's against the death penalty, and he's pro-evolution, and he's pro-public schools. So now, did you get that list? Now, how conservative can you be if you're against spanking and if you're against the death penalty, but you support killing innocent unborn children and you're pro-homosexual and you're pro-evolution, you're pro the godless public school system? You know, if a woman becomes pregnant by a rapist, this is how backwards our conservative world is today. A woman becomes pregnant by a rapist, O'Reilly would support killing the baby, but protect the rapist. A true conservative would kill the rapist and love the baby. Right? This is Bob Enyart. Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and thrilled to fill in for Larry and Chuck Bates here at the Information Radio Network. And after the first break, we'll give out the phone number and take some calls. But this morning, George W. Bush, he was introduced by his chief White House legal counsel, the pro-abortion Alberto Gonzalez. And Gonzalez, well, he's pretty radical pro-abort. Even that young girls could have an abortion, never mind a medical procedure, but an abortion without their parents even knowing they're having a medical procedure. That's radical pro-abortion. And that's Gonzalez, whom Bush helped to get onto the Texas Supreme Court. Anyway, George W. Bush brought Alberto Gonzalez with him to the White House as chief White House counsel, legal counsel. And so Gonzalez introduced the president this morning when he spoke against the Senate Democrats for not voting on his judicial nominees, including Priscilla Owens. Now, she's a woman who's certainly more pro-life than this radical pro-abort Alberto Gonzalez. But I'd like to talk to you a little bit about what's going on with the nomination of Priscilla Owens and judges in our land in America. You know, Republicans right now are fighting to get Priscilla Owens confirmed. But being a judge from Texas, George Bush's own home state, that makes that even more difficult. Because the way justice works in Texas, Texas judges commonly, routinely take campaign money from the law firms and the businesses who bring cases before them. Now, this is really peculiar. The way Texas does justice is that Texas judges from county courthouses right up to the state's highest courts, they finance their election campaigns with money from the very lawyers who bring cases before them. And with money from the very businesses which appear as defendants or plaintiffs in their own courts, like Enron, right? Enron, from 1993 to its demise, Enron and its executives were the largest corporate donors to the Texas Supreme Court judges, to their campaigns. They gave about $135,000. It's quite a bit. A nice little chunk of that, about $9,000, went to Priscilla Owens in her race in 1994. Now, let me give you an example of the appearance of conflict of interest with the Texas judicial system, and then we'll talk about how should a judicial system work. But after taking about $9,000 from Enron in 1994, the next year, Priscilla Owens wrote a decision that saved Enron $250,000. Now, that's a good investment. You spend $10,000 and you get back $250,000, right? And what she did with other judges is change the date that inventories must be counted for tax purposes. We'll be right back on Unraveling the New World Order. This is Bob Inyart filling in for Larry and Chuck Bates.
Stay tuned for more live talk with your hosts, Dr. Larry Bates and Chuck Bates. Koreans were recently caught trying to escape their homeland of communist North Korea. After being interrogated, 20 of them were immediately executed. Their crime? They had been studying the Bible. While tensions rise and talks of aggression continue in Washington, North Korea is already waging a war against our brothers and sisters in Christ. They've been beaten, imprisoned, and martyred simply for their faith. If you want to know what's really happening in North Korea and other nations where Christians are being persecuted, you need a free subscription to the Voice of the Martyrs monthly newsletter. You'll learn the truth about countries like North Korea, China, Afghanistan, and even Iraq. You'll learn to pray effectively for your persecuted brothers and sisters, and you'll discover practical ways to get involved. So call the Voice of the Martyrs right now and request your free subscription to their award-winning monthly newsletter. Call 888-843-1056. That's 888-843-1056. 888-843-1056.
Thomas Kincaid, the famous painter of light, experiences the joy of sponsoring a child through World Vision firsthand.
This is the home of a young girl named Celestina. Celestina can't go to school because every day she has to take care of her younger sister, Carolina. Her folks work all day long, but get paid very little. This week, they only made enough to buy corn for a few days, and it's all the food they've got. Now, that means these girls will go hungry. My wife and I knew what we had to do.
You can give one child hope by helping World Vision tackle the root causes of poverty with proven effective programs like medical clinics, schools, and agricultural training for their parents. All for less than $1 a day or only $26 per month. For your free information package, call now 866-279-9435. That's 866-279-9435. Give a child in need a chance for a better tomorrow. Call 866-279-9435.
Isn't it strange how new diseases always seem to crop up to take the place of the ones for which cures are found? The Center for Disease Control has even said a new strain of superbugs has recently come along, and they can't be destroyed by today's antibiotics. Looks like the only way to deal with these strange new bugs is to create a second immune system to diminish our chances of contracting them. That's where colloidal silver comes in. For centuries, it's been known that silver, and recently in colloidal silver, is a powerful natural antibiotic. Yes, you can buy colloidal silver, but you can make your own for much less than most places charge. Find out how by calling 1-800-336-7000. Remember, colloidal silver is known to be effective against scores of pathogens, the downfall of disease victims. So give your immune system the power to fight those pathogens through the creation of a second immune system with colloidal silver. Call 1-800-336-7000 for a free brochure that explains it more fully. That's 1-800-336-7000 for free information on colloidal silver, the best natural antibiotic known.
And now, more Unraveling the New World Order with your hosts, Dr. Larry Bates and Chuck Bates.
This is Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church, filling in for Larry and Chuck Bates. Welcome back. 1-800-773-TALK, that's the phone number, to get into the Information Radio Network headquarters in Memphis, Tennessee. We're actually coming to you remotely today from our Denver, Colorado studio. I host Bob Enyart Live, which you can get on IRN at selected affiliates in cities around the country, from Springfield, Massachusetts, to Denver, Indianapolis, New Orleans. Have a lot of fun on Information Radio Network. Of course, you can pick up my show at inforadionet.com. That's where you could get more information about tomorrow's seminar conference in Atlanta, Georgia. Meet Larry Pratt, Jesse Lee Peterson, Chuck Bates, Larry Bates. It'll be a great time, as it was just 2 weeks ago in South Bend, Indiana. Our phone number, 800-773-TALK. That's 800-773-8255. So we have our conservative world is so filled with contradictions. You got Bill O'Reilly, who's the spokesman for the conservative movement on cable TV. He's the number one cable conservative, and he's pro-abortion, pro-homosexuality, pro-evolution, pro-public schools, anti-death penalty, anti-spanking. How does that make you conservative? A trucker once said to me, he's driving through Massachusetts listening to IRN, and he called in to my show, and he said, "Bob, I can't believe you're saying O'Reilly is a liberal. How could he be a liberal? He thinks that Bill Clinton is an absolute lowlife." In fact, he said that his exact words, that he thinks Bill Clinton is a low down dirty dog. And I said, so does Hillary. So does Hillary think that. That doesn't make you a conservative if you despise Bill Clinton. That doesn't do it. There needs to be other principles, other belief systems at play. And so this morning we had George W. Bush at a significant press conference or a public event making a statement about the Democrats stonewalling his judicial nominees in the Senate. And he's introduced by this radical pro-abort, Alberto Gonzalez, while he's advocating a vote on his judicial nominee, Priscilla Owen. And so we conservatives are caught in this confusing world. And I thought I'd talk a little bit more about justice Texas style, where we just mentioned that Priscilla Owen, and I'm not using this against her, this is how it works in Texas. In Texas, the judges take money from the lawyers and the law firms that they then rule in behalf of. In 1994, I'll give you one other example, then we'll go to the phones. We'll go to Florida and New Mexico. One other example, 1994, Priscilla Owen took $14,000 from a law firm, Hughes and Luce. And that law firm was then being sued, and she sat over the case. And the law firm was being sued by a woman. She wanted to sue the law firm for bad legal advice in a case which landed her a felony. And what Priscilla Owen ruled with the majority was that the woman could not sue her law firm because she was a convicted felon. But she wanted to sue because she said the bad legal advice from the law firm resulted in her felony conviction. And so regardless of whether or not Priscilla Owen could do a good job of defending that circular reasoning, there's still this appearance of impropriety since she received $14,000 from the very law firm that she ruled in favor of in the same year. So these examples are not to condemn Priscilla Owen, but the Texas Supreme Court and the Texas legislature, which she was a part of, by the way, and the Texas governors for many years who've allowed this corrupt system to thrive. Let's go to the phones. We'll start out in Florida, listening on WLVJ. Renee, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob.
Hello, Renee.
Hi. I'd like to make a comment about what you said with Bill Riley.
Yeah.
You see, because these men, they, like Bill Riley, he says, yes, Jesus is God, but yet he's against everything that Jesus is for.
Yeah.
Okay. Did I say that right?
Yeah, you said that exactly right.
Okay.
And isn't that typical? Like in Jesus' day, the Pharisees, they bragged that they were the sons of Abraham and they believed in the God of Abraham.
Yes.
Yet they really rejected.
Jesus.
Yeah, they rejected that God and they wanted Jesus crucified.
God's knowledge.
Right.
What I want to say is because, like William Snowballon said in his book, the Freemasons have downgraded Jesus Christ and they've created their own Christ.
Well,
that's what it is. They say Jesus is God, but yet they've created their own Christ.
Well, every non-Christian group in the world does that to different degrees, right?
And no, absolutely.
You need to be a Christian and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ because he created us.
Yes.
And he came down to earth to live a sinless life, to die for our sins, and he was raised from the dead. And we benefit from that if we trust in him.
Absolutely. Like, for example, the apotheosis of George Washington in the high ceiling of the Rotunda building, the Capitol building.
Yeah.
Apotheosis means to raise a person to a rank of a god. See, they've made George Washington as a Christ.
Well, Renee, I want to thank you for your call, and it's a good point. We, even conservative Christians, have elevated, for example, the founding fathers into a status where it's like they were inspired by God, and they really weren't. They compromised, and they really fought for many weeks on end in a hot Philadelphia summer.
Yeah.
To come up with a compromised document of our Constitution, which
Amen.
In some ways is flawed. But thank you, Renee,
thank you, Florida.
I appreciate your call. Now in New Mexico, listening on KKIM, Pat, speak your mind.
Whoops.
Hello, Pat.
Good morning.
Howdy.
It's morning here. Good afternoon, where you are.
It's still morning in Denver.
I wanted to make a comment regarding Bill O'Reilly when talking to Ireland. He asked her if she was a Christian. She said it depends upon what you mean by Christianity. And he said a Christian is someone who believes Jesus Christ is God,
right.
Which prompted me to email him immediately and say, didn't Lucifer reside in heaven at one time?
Okay, Lucifer, he did. He resided in heaven at one time. But
of course, but so what, he knows what does Jesus that... is God.
Oh, what a good point.
Yeah.
But, boy, I tell you, Chuck and Larry have the brightest audience.
That's
a good point because
really?
James, in the New Testament, James says, even the devil believes and he trembles.
Of course.
The devil believes, the devil knows that Jesus Christ is God. He's not only the Son of God, but he's God the Son. And that in and of itself, very good point. That does not make you a Christian.
Out the old Bible that's probably full of dust.
All right. Thank you, Pat.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Now let's go to, let's see here, 1-800-773-TALK. This is Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. By the way, you could catch our show on the Information Radio Network at IRN at inforadionet.com or on our own humble website, kgov.com, the home of Bob Enyart Live. All right, and let's see now. Let's go to Louisiana on WSHO. What a great radio station. Solly, speak your mind.
Bob.
Hello, Solly.
Bob, we miss you down here in New Orleans. We wish you was back on TV.
Oh, well, you know, we spent many years on TV. Was it Channel 20 in New Orleans?
Yeah, Channel 20.
We had a wonderful time, 1 hour, 5 nights a week for years. And, you know, we pray, Solly, that someday we could get on WSHO. We are, Bob Enyart Live is changing our time slot to 5 p.m. Eastern time. Now, you guys are Central?
Yeah, we're Central.
So that would be 4 p.m., 4 to 5. And it's rough to open up an hour time slot on a popular radio station like WSHO. But yeah. Someday we pray to, hey, we're in New Orleans right now on one of the competing stations, actually.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, I don't want to give those call letters.
Okay, my question is, the Bible says you'll know them by their fruits. And I've been watching our president, and all of the conservatives, all of the quote-unquote Christians believe he's a man of God because he says he is. But everything that he does seems to be anti-Christ, and I wanted your opinion on it.
All right. Well, I would just temper that a little bit. Certainly not everything he does, but sadly there are many things that our conservative Christian leaders in politics do that are bewildering. Let me give a couple examples. Appointing homosexuals to high public office. That's just absolutely destructive. When conservative Christians, at least outwardly, conservative Christians approve of homosexuality, they do more to destroy the next generation of Americans than Osama bin Laden ever could. And that's what George W. Bush does. He appointed a homosexual. As we have a dear friend who comes from Romania, and she told us that we reported on Bob Enyart Live, as I think Larry and Chuck did on their show, that George W. Bush appointed a homosexual as the ambassador to Romania. And our friend from Romania, her name is Christina, she said when the homosexual got to Romania, he brought his homosexual partner with him. And he was introduced, the ambassador was introduced, and then his spouse was introduced, and it turned out to be a guy. And the leadership of Romania was beside itself. They didn't know how to deal with this. And they thought, this is what it means to get out of the bondage and the tyranny of communism into the freedom of America's camp, and we got homosexuals coming as their representatives.
Can I ask you one more question?
Yeah, that's just one example of about 400. But go ahead.
Do you think what they're implementing is the Hegelian dialectic? And in that, also, do you think Christians, and I guess it's three questions, should Christians pull out the Republican Party?
Oh, boy, that's a good one. Well, I call it, after the break, Solly, I'll tell you what I call it. Thanks for calling in. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Live Talk with your hosts, Dr. Larry Bates and Chuck Bates.
With news on the Information Radio Network, I'm Hope Duggar. The governor of Oklahoma will tour tornado damage around Oklahoma City today by air and on the ground. At least 104 people were hurt in yesterday's storms, but no one was killed. Several hundred homes were smashed. Red Cross disaster relief worker and spokeswoman Nancy Rutherford says the local Red Cross is providing shelter, but most people are staying with family or friends.
The main focus is to try to meet the immediate needs of the families. And what I'll be doing, along with my colleagues, is going to the shelter and, you know, talking with the families, making sure that what they feel like they're needing, that we're providing those needs. We'll be kind of walking through the neighborhoods and delivering relief items, water, food, things like that.
There's a sharp drop in the number of SARS cases in Beijing, but international health officials say it's too soon to know whether the outbreak has peaked there. They say it's possible that the danger is shifting to the Chinese countryside. You're listening to news on the Information Radio Network.
Concerned about your money? How about your IRAs or retirement? Most of us want to protect what we've worked hard for. Many have seen huge losses in their IRAs, mutual funds, and 401k plans. There is a way you can protect your money, the Precious Metals IRA. You can roll over a part or all of your 401k retirement fund or IRA to the safest haven known to man. Gold and silver have been used for centuries as a hedge against economic recessions, depressions, and collapse. You can protect your retirement and 401k plans without the everyday worry of the stock markets. Protect your hard-earned assets through the Precious Metals. Never has there been an easier way to guard your retirement and own real money at the same time. Find peace of mind with the Precious Metals IRA. For information and details on how you can simply and easily protect your investments, call 1-800-325-0919 and ask for a brochure on the Precious Metals IRA. That's 1-800-325-0919. Again, 800-325-0919.
This is an IRN Business News update. Simon Property Group is claiming another legal victory in its hostile takeover bid for a rival shopping mall developer, Taubman Centers. A judge has ruled the Taubman family cannot use its large stake of voting shares to block Simon's bid. Procter & Gamble says tornado damage at its Jackson, Tennessee Pringles-making plant could trim quarterly revenue by as much as 1%. The company says while there was roof and water damage from the Monday storm, the facility suffered no major structural damage. Toys R Us says it has named Richard Marquis as vice chairman of the company and president of its U.S. Toy Stores unit. He replaces Greg Staley, who left the company in January for personal reasons. Gateway says it will expand its offerings in consumer electronics and remodel 192 stores this year. Officials say the move is designed to bolster sales by expanding beyond personal computers. Coca-Cola shares are trading higher. The buying interest comes after a Bear Stearns analyst upgraded the soft drink giant's stock rating to outperform, citing in part improvements from operations. With an IRN Business News update, I'm Hope Duggar.
And now, more Unraveling the New World Order with your hosts, Dr. Larry Bates and Chuck Bates.
This is Bob Benyart with the honor of filling in for Larry and Chuck as they're on their way to Atlanta, Georgia, to the Marriott Northwest there for the IRN conference tomorrow. It's going to be a blast. You could get more information on it at inforadionet.com. All right, Solly asked, should Christians pull out of the Republican Party? And, you know, no matter who I'm interviewing, if it's Ann Coulter, somebody from government. Last night on Bob Benyart Live, I got to interview Hal Lindsey, the author of The Late Great Planet Earth. And I always pronounce it the Republican Party and the Democrats. Just a slight little pronunciation shift, very subtle. The Democrats and the Republicans. And I pronounce it the Republicans because Jesus was not a fan of the publicans in his day, nor of the lawyers. He didn't have good things to say about them, and so Jesus didn't like the publicans, so we thought we'd try it again, and we've got the Republicans. And it's a bit frustrating. It really is, with the things that the Republican Party has done to further the homosexual movement is much more significant than what Queer Nation has ever been able to do. Last night, Concerned Women of America, they were on Chris Matthews' Hardball, and I was thanking God, Lord, thank you that at least some other Christian groups, other than those of us on IRN and a few others, have the guts to take on the Republican Party. And she was saying the Republican Party high officials are meeting with homosexual activists, and their only goal is to get homosexual agenda into the Republican Party. And believe me, it's happening. And sure, this administration has taken on the terrorists, and I thank God they are, and they need to do an even better job than they have so far. And so far, it's been brilliant. The war in Afghanistan, the war in Iraq, to liberate 23 million people of Iraq. Yeah, the liberals hate it. They hate it because, well, the reason they're so angry is because they hate George W. Bush more than they love 23 million Iraqi people. And so they'd rather leave the Iraqi people in bondage than have somebody like George W. Bush free them. And see, my attitude towards George W. Bush is nowhere near that. I want to be objective, even though I see many particulars that are wrong and destructive. Let's go to, well, in the 1990s, a case reached the Texas Supreme Court. Four girls in Texas wanted abortions, but they didn't want to notify their parents as required by Texas law, and there's a judicial override. And so that case went to the Texas Supreme Court, and Alberto Gonzalez, the guy that George W. Bush helped to get onto the Supreme Court and then brought with him to Washington to be chief White House counsel, he's the guy who insiders say is the most likely Bush's first U.S. Supreme Court nominee, most likely, Alberto Gonzalez. He's the guy who introduced George Bush this morning. He voted for these girls to have abortions apart from parental from the parents even knowing they're having a medical procedure. And he said, you know, he really criticized Priscilla Owen because in that case, she dissented. And she said, no, these girls should not be allowed to have an abortion. And he just utterly criticized her in his opinion, saying that her dissent was an unconscionable act of judicial activism. That's what Roe v. Wade was. There's never a time when a judge should say a woman should kill an innocent child for the sake of the convenience of the woman. Never. You don't intentionally kill an unborn baby. All right, let's go back to the phones. Where are we going to go here? Scanning the callers. In Arkansas, listening on KVRN, Michael, speak your mind. Hello, Michael.
I heard your comment at the beginning of the show about capital punishment, and I was just wondering, do you think it's necessary to have a pro-capital punishment view to be conservative or Christian or
well,
or what exactly?
To be Christian, you have to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're against the death penalty, then you are sinning, and Christians do sin. You know, on occasion, we Christians sin. There's plenty of that going around.
Well, why exactly do you think that it's a sin to be against capital punishment? Because I've been reading, like, the work of the early church fathers, like, from, you know, the first and second century and everything, and there was division in this
oh, you better believe
even
it.
Very early on.
Oh,
like,
you
with
better
believe it. Tertullian and Lactantius and all of that.
Yeah. In the new, you don't have to go to the early church fathers. Just go to the pages of the Bible, the Old and New Testament. And while the Bible was being written, the followers, God's followers and Christ's followers, were all messed up. And they were believing everything wrong and confused. As the Bible, as the apostles were teaching, they were perverting the teachings. So you're a lot safer reading the Bible than the writings of the early church fathers to figure out what should you believe. Let me give you a few examples, Michael.
I read the Bible often.
Well, I'm sure you do. But I'm urging you to do so more carefully on this issue. The day Jesus Christ was crucified, he was crucified to meet the demands of justice required by the Father so that we could be saved. So that if the death penalty is wrong, if you tell the world that the death penalty is wrong, what you're unwittingly doing is undermining the gospel of Jesus Christ. The day Jesus was crucified, there were two other criminals being executed. The one mocked the Lord.
Well, Jesus says that he gave his life of his own accord. It doesn't seem that the state took it from him by any means.
Oh, he did give his life of his own accord, but he was executed by the Romans. The Jews called.
Well, I know that. I mean, it was completely up to him. And
Michael,
I would say that the people in the crowd shouting "Crucify him" were doing the right thing by bringing
Michael
the death penalty.
Michael,
I
mean, you just gave the perfect example of how when you're wrong on fundamental matters of justice, there's no obvious place for your error to stop, and you become increasingly wrong, and your thinking becomes even bizarre. And even as a Christian, you could advocate evil and wickedness. It was a sin for the people to yell, "Crucify him." It was a shame. It was a tragedy. And but let me tell you real quickly, the criminal on the cross who was being executed, and the two of them were being executed. The one mocked the Lord. The other one who had just repented, he said, "This man has done nothing wrong, but we are being punished justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds." Now, God is not required to put every spoken word into the Bible. God selects what he wants to put in the Bible. And here at the time of the execution of Jesus Christ is a man who was just declared righteous, giving a defense while he's being executed for the justice of the death penalty. And then you have the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, who's on trial for his life before the governor in Caesarea. And the Apostle Paul gives a defense for the death penalty. Even though he always stood up for his rights, he said, "If I have done anything worthy of death, I do not object to dying." And then if you look at Paul's writings in Romans chapter 13, he says the governing authority is God's minister to bring vengeance, wrath, and terror against the evildoer and to execute him with the sword.
In a sense, you should submit to the government in many cases even when they're doing something wrong. So in those cases, because
that
was what the government did, they didn't object to it even though it would have been wrong. I'm not necessarily arguing for the death penalty.
Michael,
know what I believe about it, but I'm just saying.
Hey, Michael, if I go to interrupt you, please pause. You just responded to two comments back. I then added what Paul wrote in Romans 13 when he said the governing authority is God's minister to bring vengeance, wrath, and terror against the evildoer and to execute them with the sword. That's the definition of a governing authority who is to be God's minister. Just like a father in a family is authorized by God to spank his children who are disobedient, so too the governing authority is God's minister, authorized to bring vengeance. Do you realize Paul wrote that he's to bring vengeance against the criminal? Remember, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You remember that?
I remember that.
You remember that, right? Romans 12, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Paul quotes that. And then he says, give place to wrath. Because if someone commits a crime against you, you're not to beat them up. You go to the government, and Paul then adds that the governing authority is God's minister to bring vengeance against the criminal. In the book of Revelation, we've got angels who are defending the death penalty. We've got God's witnesses who are using self-defense and killing those who are coming against them. We have those who died and they're with the Lord in heaven, crying out for justice and vengeance. And those who are given blood to drink, they're receiving their just due. But you would say all of that is wrong. Because
I never said that the death penalty was wrong. I don't know what I believe about it. I just don't think that it's a kind of issue that I would want to cause division about, because there has been disagreement.
Yeah, Michael, let me give you a few more verses. God said, what book is this in the Bible where God said, keeping people alive who should not live, right? He said, you profane me when you keep people alive who should not live. What book of the Bible is that in?
Not familiar with that one.
What's that?
I'm not familiar with that one.
Oh, you know what? There's a lot of verses like that. How about this? What book of the Bible does it compare the death penalty on earth to the certainty of judgment day? in fact, which books, because it's more than one book, that says because men see the death penalty on earth, they will know that there's a judgment day. Which books of the Bible tell us that?
I don't know.
So we have...
Which one is it?
By the way, the first one was Ezekiel. The second one was Proverbs and Hebrews. The certainty of the death penalty by two or three witnesses under Moses' law, when a man dies under Moses' law, because of the certainty of that, men will fear the second death because they have ignored the blood of Jesus Christ. And sure enough, on earth, when there is no justice, you know what happens, Michael? When there's no justice, men say, how can there be a God of justice when there's no justice in the world? And that's what you're promoting. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Live Talk with your hosts, Dr. Larry Bates and Chuck Bates.
Isn't it strange how new diseases always seem to crop up to take the place of the ones for which cures are found? The Center for Disease Control has even said a new strain of superbugs has recently come along, and they can't be destroyed by today's antibiotics. Looks like the only way to deal with these strange new bugs is to create a second immune system to diminish our chances of contracting them. That's where colloidal silver comes in. For centuries, it's been known that silver, and recently in colloidal silver, is a powerful natural antibiotic. Yes, you can buy colloidal silver, but you can make your own for much less than most places charge. Find out how by calling 1-800-336-7000. Remember, colloidal silver is known to be effective against scores of pathogens, the downfall of disease victims. So give your immune system the power to fight those pathogens through the creation of a second immune system with colloidal silver. Call 1-800-336-7000 for a free brochure that explains it more fully. That's 1-800-336-7000 for free information on colloidal silver, the best natural antibiotic known.
And now, more Unraveling the New World Order with your hosts, Dr. Larry Bates and Chuck Bates.
And this is Bob Benyard, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, filling in for Larry and Chuck Bates, who are on their way to the IRN conference in Atlanta, Georgia. Find out more about the conference at inforadionet.com or call 800-336-7000. Boy, I wish I could be there. It's going to be fun. Jesse Lee Peterson, Larry Pratt, who was just on MSNBC last night. He was right in the middle of it when CWA was going after Dick Armey, a Republican congressman, for the Republican Party. Concerned Women of America are criticizing the Republican Party for being supportive of homosexual groups. And she was absolutely right. The head of CWA was right. She didn't take it far enough, but her criticism was right. Okay. All right. The phone number here, 800-773-TALK. So we were talking about, with Michael, about the death penalty. And, you know, Jesus even said that he was criticizing the Pharisees for going by their own tradition. That's like reading the early church fathers and taking their word instead of the Bible's word. And he criticized them in Matthew and in Mark, like Matthew 15, for example, saying that you go by your own tradition, for God commanded, saying, and then he gives some example from the Mosaic law, and Jesus said, let him be put to death. Jesus said. And he added, but you say, yada, 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 yada. So Jesus Christ was not so ashamed of the death penalty to avoid quoting the Mosaic law, calling for the death penalty, even in the most extreme circumstances under which Israel was to obey and implement God's Mosaic law. He supported the death penalty, Michael, in the most extreme examples.
Under the Mosaic Law, Israel was a theocracy, and today the United States and any other country on the face of the earth is not a theocracy.
So therefore,
the governments are made up of fallible people who make mistakes.
Michael, okay, you make a point. I want to interrupt. When I interrupt, you pause.
I can't hear you on my phone. It's really quiet. I'm sorry.
Okay, Michael. Okay, Israel was a theocracy, and we're not. Okay, so then legalize murder, kidnapping, adultery, stealing, rape. Because all those things were against the Mosaic Law. And since we're not a theocracy, we have to throw out the entire law. Everything Judeo-Christian principle, history, and heritage has been based on for 4,000 years. We got to throw it out because we're not a theocracy. That's not what you mean, is it?
No, that's not what I mean.
Right.
At all.
So this is what we as Christians are required to do by God. We are responsible for knowing the Word of God and understanding what are the enduring moral and criminal principles in the Mosaic Law, and we have to unabashedly advocate and call for the enforcement of those principles so that killing an unborn child is murder. It doesn't matter that we're not a theocracy. It doesn't matter that we have an evil government. It's still murder to kill Jews, to own black people, to rape women. The Mosaic Law has a criminal code in it. The Ten Commandments, think about the Ten Commandments. They have the foundation of a criminal code. Thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness. That's due process. The Mosaic Law was given to Israel, and it had many cultural idiosyncrasies that were applicable only for Israel. But the death penalty predates the existence of Israel by centuries. The death penalty.
I'm aware of that. But
And God is the one who instituted the death penalty.
It was after the flood. I'm aware of that.
Yeah.
But the thing about the death penalty is that because the government is fallible, I think that the death penalty is kind of...
Okay, stop right there. Stop right there. You just made a point. Because the government is fallible. Now, at the time of God revealing the Bible, was the government fallible back then?
Yes.
That didn't cause God, Moses or Jesus or Paul to say, reject the death penalty because the government is fallible. The governments were evil throughout all of biblical history, yet God demanded the death penalty, and now we have a newsflash that Michael has realized that the government is evil, and therefore we should be at least uncertain as Christians about this matter of utmost, of fundamental importance. Michael, I'm not kidding. As the pastor of Denver Bible Church, when I say that you are sinning because you are ambivalent about the death penalty. God said, will you profane me, keeping people alive who should not live? And you have fallen into this trend of being nicer than God, more righteous than God, more merciful than God. And God says, when the sentence against a wicked man is not executed speedily, that's when you have a crime epidemic. That's Ecclesiastes 8:11. And so when you don't speedily execute murderers and kidnappers and rapists, then God promises you'll have a tidal wave of rape and murder and kidnapping. And as an opponent of the death penalty or someone who's ambivalent about it, then you are partly responsible for the murder that happens because of defying God and his law. And I hope you will humbly reconsider. And if you're willing to give the call screener your address, we'll send you a 2-hour video titled God and the Death Penalty, New Testament Support for Capital Punishment. All right?
Okay.
Thank you. We'll put you on hold, and we'll send you that video free of charge. Normally, that's $24.95, God and the Death Penalty. By the way, quick commercial here. You can order that on our website at kgov.com, kgov.com. And gov is in there, kgov, because the Bible lays out how a government should function, kgov.com. Or you could call us at 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. All right, now, Let's go back to the phones, and let's go to Las Vegas. Anthony, speak your mind.
Hey, how you doing today?
Doing well, Anthony.
Great show.
Thank you.
I just had a question. Since Jesus also said to stone disobedient children, do we do that right away also?
Okay, that is a fabulous question. This is what we as Christians have to do. God in the Bible said you can't wear clothing of mixed fabrics. You can only work on certain days. You can only eat certain kinds of food. If you pick up sticks, you're to be executed if you do it on a certain day, if you start a fire on a certain day. And he also said you can't murder, kidnap, commit adultery, or steal.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have in the Mosaic Law, we have two things. We have a fundamental moral criminal code, and then we have cultural idiosyncrasies for Israel that God gave to symbolically teach the world about Jesus Christ. I'll explain the principle. What we need to do is separate out the national covenantal laws for Israel from the fundamental criminal code. And in Israel, if you worshipped another god, you were to be put to death. If you blasphemed God, you're to be put to death. That's because Israel had a covenant relationship with God, and that covenant was the law of the land. In Egypt, if you worshipped another god, God did not say all the Egyptians should be put to death because they were worshipping another god. And so you separate out the laws that were just for Israel and for their priesthood, and you don't enforce them on the peoples of the world today. But you take the fundamental criminal code. So in the fundamental criminal code, there's the death penalty for murder, for rape, for kidnapping, but not for being a disobedient child. That law, along with about 200 other laws, are symbolic laws that were meant to reinforce Israel's covenant relationship with God. So that
are you familiar with Hosea's prophecy regarding the termination of pregnancy in the Hosea the 9th chapter?
Go ahead and describe it real quick.
When he asked God to just kill the wombs, the babies in the womb that time, but then God told him not only would he kill the baby in the womb, but he would kill the baby at the time of conception, he would kill it in the womb, he would kill it at the time of birth, and he would send killers in to kill them while they were on the street.
You're talking about
the disobedience of I think it was
about
I'm not sure.
Ephraim, about Ephraim, and God says
right.
and Hosea says, give them, Lord, a miscarrying womb and dry mm-hmm. breast. That's what you're talking about?
Yes.
And
do you think Hosea was wrong for saying that?
No. Hosea, if God kills a billion people on earth, like he did during Noah's flood, including children.
Mm-hmm.
God is our creator. He made us to live life in two stages, A and B, on this earth and then the afterlife. And it's never wrong for God to bring one of his creatures from this life to the next life.
But
so if God kills a million unborn babies in the flood and brings them to the next life, that's not unrighteous. But for us,
this is Hosea.
Hosea's asking God for judgment on his people. Hey, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. This is Bob Enyart, pastor of DenverBibleChurch.org. You can find the church on the web. And I'm so thankful that Larry and Chuck Bates allowed me to fill in for them today, Friday, Monday. They will be back with their excellent and informative show. And if you'd like to check out KGov.com, I invite you to.
You've been listening to another edition of Unraveling the New World Order with your hosts, economist and best-selling author Dr. Larry Bates and former White House aide Chuck Bates. The views expressed on this program are those of the host and guests and are not necessarily those of the Information Radio Network, its affiliates, stations, or advertisers. Join us again next time for Unraveling the New World Order, talk radio at its best.